Making America work, not working America over. This is the Mario Solis Merit Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
6 minutes after 5 o'clock. My name is Mario Solis Merit. You're listening to the one and only Mario Solis Merit Show right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. By the way, we were just talking about this. Thanks for this, Rick. Appreciate this. We're talking about the decline of newspapers. Looks like the Rocky Mountain News is for sale. According to the Denver Post.
Can I buy it?
Huh? $11 million.
Ooh. There's a story on the Rocky too. The website. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't get that to you earlier, man. No. But I was slacking on my story detail today.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'll see if I can get a loan.
I like the Rocky Mountain News too.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well. But yeah, you could buy it. Why don't you marry it?
There you go.
Dude, that would be sweet, man.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Oscar's News Daily.
Dude, if Oscar owned the freaking Rocky.
That's the new name.
Grumpy News.
You could call it The Grouch.
The Grouch.
Just call it The Grouch.
The Daily Grouch. That'll be great. So we'll post that story as well so that people could check it out. But everything that James Boyce was just talking about is exactly the reasons they're selling this thing. And who knows? They said if they can't sell it, then they will see what else they could do. So they would not elaborate, but it does not sound good. On the other side of the country, over in Florida, we talked about Senator Mel Martinez, a Republican U.S. senator from Florida, saying that he was looking to retire. There was speculation, and I talked about this yesterday or the day before, something, that he was going to quit before the end of his term. But he has now said he's going to stay till the end of his term, and his number one priority is going to be comprehensive immigration reform, bringing millions of people into the mainstream. So he's got a fight ahead of him with his Republican colleagues. He says he's looking for Obama, to take the first step and to take the lead on the issue, but that he's definitely going to be supporting that. So it's going to be interesting to see how his Republican colleagues respond to this, because the rumors on Capitol Hill is that the Republicans have still not figured out. The Republicans in the Senate have still not figured out that they're very, very hostile posture on immigration cost them so many votes in critical swing states. These guys are just not good at math. And they don't know how to read polls. They're completely out of their league. Mel Martinez, this is a battle that he's been trying to wage for a while internally, and a lot of people had said that the reason he was leaving is because he felt that the Republican Party was just too hostile to Latinos. And then today, that was a rumor, but then today he announced that he's going to make a comprehensive immigration reform his biggest effort before he leaves office. So that's it's an interesting turn of events. And I guess a guy like that is sitting around going, do I change this organization? Do I continue? Because he was the head of the Republican National Committee. And he was trying to bring about some type of inclusive change and found himself beating his head up against the wall. And eventually he quit. I mean, I think he was only up for a year, not even a year. I don't think he was even chair of the Republican National Committee for a year. And the positions that they would take, et cetera, completely drummed him out. And apparently it drummed him out of the party. And I would love to see a Democrat win that seat, but I would suggest to Mel Martinez, as long as he's saying he's got different views than the Republicans, and he thinks he sees things differently on a number of key issues, it's easy to re-register either as an independent or as a Democrat and just hold your seat. I mean, it's free. You could re-register anytime. Just ask Joe Lieberman. Just go. Apparently, you just go to a post office, fill out the form, and just re-register. And nobody's going to blame somebody like Mel Martinez. You know, what's his name did that too? J.C. Watts, African-American Republican in Congress. You know, started a PAC to organize around African-American issues, recruited, African-American Republicans. Actually, I know a person who used to be a top Republican African-American donor who was real hot on the whole J.C. Watts thing. He voted for Obama and re-registered as an independent. But my friend did, not J.C. Watts. J.C. Watts stuck it out, and then finally resigned. But I don't think that that's the best strategy sometimes. I think sometimes you give up, but as long as you're a congressperson and you're doing a good job on the constituent level, and as long as you're a senator and you're doing a good job serving your state, then why not change your registration? Declare yourself an independent, whatever. If you can't swallow the D word, right? If you just can't become a Democrat, become an independent. Stick in there and fight it out. I mean, yeah, the Republicans are not going to get invited to any more little martini, $20 martinis over at the Monocle in D.C., the favorite hangout of Republican lobbyists. You're not going to go there. But think about this. You could hang out with us. I could show you places in D.C. You get them for $4. The right night, the right time, but, $4.
That's a bargain.
It is a bargain. In D.C., it's a huge bargain.
It's like five for the price of one.
Right. Basically, the difference. But plus the people watching is much better. Trust me. The people watching is much better at the places I go when I'm in D.C. But, it's interesting. I have no idea. It's really interesting when somebody like this decides they're not going to run. They're not going to run for re-election. Then the rumors are out that he's unhappy with the party. Why doesn't he just fight it out? Stick it out. Let's see. Who knows who he really is? People get involved with these parties and they start going after leadership positions, et cetera. And it ends up, distorting who they are. And Mel Martinez, if you really want to do something, then go ahead, fight for comprehensive immigration reform. Fight for comprehensive immigration reform. And then, stay in there and work for comprehensive health care reform, too. 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600 is the number. It's 514 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Let me take a quick call here. Doug, on your cell, you're on AM 760.
Yeah, hey, Mario.
Hey, Doug.
I think immigration is really going to become a dead issue because there's no jobs. I mean, I just think it's going to be an emigration issue. It won't be an issue, but that's really what's going to start happening.
Well, I think that immigration isn't an issue, but the issue of people that have worked here for 20 years who are undocumented is still an issue. I mean, there are people here that own homes. By the way, if you break people down by subgroups, the lowest foreclosure rate right now is with people who are using TIN numbers who are suspected to be undocumented immigrants. I mean, you have people here that have worked hard, invested in this country. Their kids don't know any other country, so they're not gonna take their kids somewhere else. I mean, and bringing those people out of the shadows is still an issue.
Okay, so right. When you say immigration reform, you're not worried about building a wall on the border and that kind of stuff to keep people out, because that's what when everybody hears immigration reform, that's what they're thinking of.
Oh yeah, no, thank you for the clarification, Doug. No, I was never into the wall anyways; it wouldn't work. But
saying that's what people think of when they hear immigration reform.
Thanks for the clarification. I appreciate it. Thanks for your call. And he called 303-713-7600. No, we don't need, we didn't, the wall wouldn't have worked, But yeah, immigration is definitely, new immigration is actually down. All right, my name is Mario Solis, Marich at 16 minutes after 5 o'clock. When we get back, we're going to do the video clips of the day. Take your calls y mucho más. 19 minutes after 5, this is Mario. You're listening to the one and only Mario Solis, Marich show. Each and every day, we put a ton of news and information on Mario's blog at am760.net. I got a little British there.
Yeah, you are British.
am760.net. You go to Mario's blog. It's filled with news and information and video clips. So what are the hot video clips today, Oscar the Grouch?
Well, the main one today is the Big Three auto bailout.
Oh, there's a main one now.
Yes. Well, no.
Isn't that the video of the day?
Yeah, the first one I meant. First video.
The first main one.
Is the...
They're all main.
He keeps on adding to this segment. Have you noticed?
I'm trying to make them sound better.
There you go.
But the Big Three auto bailout was under heavy discussion today. And the CEO of Ford, Alan Mulally, had some words to say. He was saying that they need a bridge loan and, you know, Ford has changed their direction. And it's kind of the same thing that the other CEOs were saying, too. Right. So we have some audio right here.
And who is this one?
Alan Mulally.
Mulally, CEO of Ford, talking about the change that Ford has taken their direction in.
Okay.
Specifically, Ford requests access to $9 billion in bridge financing, something we hope we will not need to use. Instead, we continue to drive change in our company. This line of credit will serve as a critical safeguard if events require it. And if we did need to access this loan, we would use the money to continue our aggressive transformation and restructuring. Ford is an American company and an American icon. We are woven into the fabric of every community that relies on our cars and trucks and the jobs our company supports.
Okay.
Yeah. So they don't really need it, but they want it. No.
Well, we don't. But let me tell you, we were talking about this earlier. People are asking me why that is. Why would they want a loan if they didn't need it? It is more than likely because their suppliers are getting skittish, and so they're headed towards more and more of a cash-only position with their suppliers, which should that ever happen, they would need the loan, number one. But number two, as long as their suppliers know that they're backed up with a healthy line of credit, then there won't be that fear for them to front them for 30, 60, 90 days, whatever their agreements are right now. So it does make a psychological difference in the way they're positioned and the way they could negotiate. The other thing that happens is that when suppliers know that you're cash only, then suddenly, you know, their prices go up because they know they got you over a barrel, right? So, I think in that way, it's very possible that you could have a loan just because you want people to know you have it available to you.
Yeah, we also heard from the UAW president, Ron Gettelfinger.
I just love that name, man.
That's the best name ever.
It is.
And he was saying that, you know, we need the bridge loan or it might mean the end of Ford.
Right.
The UAW believes that it's imperative that the federal government act this month to provide an emergency bridge loan to General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. Without such assistance, General Motors and Chrysler could run out of funds in the very near future and be forced to liquidate. The collapse of these companies would inevitably drag down numerous auto parts suppliers, which in turn could lead to the collapse of Ford.
Wow. And by the way, that includes your little, people are saying, keep on talking about these other businesses. Let's also talk about the retail shops, like those chains of auto supply stores. Those folks could go under too.
Yeah, everybody's connected.
There's a whole other, industry there. So there you go. Very good. So what else do you got for us, Oscar the Grouch?
Well, in the auto workers theme that we're on right now, today on Morning
Joe. Theme.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had reported on it.
Does it have theme music or is it just a theme?
No, just a regular theme. Yeah. Wow. But anyways, we had reported on it.
Not much of a theme.
Right.
Just segue.
Right.
We had reported on it before about the auto workers and the $70, the myth that they receive
right.
$70 an
That's
hour.
Right.
So today on Morning Joe, Democratic strategist Bob Schrum was on there, and he had a comment about that, saying that it's false.
Okay, yeah. Great.
They debunked it, finally. Somebody.
Wait a minute. What do you mean somebody? We debunked it 2 weeks ago.
Well, here's Morning Joe saying that they debunked it, finally.
Well, there's this one crazy statistic. Have you seen it? That they're paid $70 an hour, auto workers.
It's not debatable.
True. No, yeah. The $77 an hour thing is not true. It's the compilation of all the benefits.
Right, and the benefits of the retirees and the pensions of the retirees. It's actually about $28 an hour.
Yeah, maybe the thing is, even on that point, if you're comparing the $77 to the $45 that foreign automakers do, even that is only a two-year deal because they've already made corrective measures. So that $77 figure goes down to $45, $46 in 2010.
Wow. I like how Mika is just like, well, that's debatable.
Yeah.
And then they just shut her up.
Right. It's like, no, there's no debates. Numbers, you know, there are numbers that, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. You can't debate that.
Yeah.
Or I guess she can.
Mike Barnicle was also he's from the Boston Herald.
Where are you getting these names?
These are their actual names.
Oh, Barnicle.
Mike Barnicle. He's from the Boston Herald. He was on the same panel in the morning on Morning Joe, and he was saying that new workers are probably going to get $18 to $19.
Wow.
So.
Bottom feeder. That's what barnacles are, right? Aren't they? Just saying.
Oh, man. There you go. What else you got for us, Oscar the Grouch?
All right, well, we have a news report coming from the American News Project on home foreclosures. And there's a video that details the story of one man, Julio Angulo. And it's a really sad story, and they talk to him, and, you know, it gets pretty emotional. But right now we have a clip of the Deputy Sheriff Zambino talking about how he's moved to the area 2 years ago, and you know, the home foreclosures have skyrocketed.
Yeah, this is what he does. He forecloses them. He goes to their houses and kicks them out. And
gee, what a job,
it's sad.
Yeah. This is, by the way, I saw this video. This is, and I want to remind people, all of these videos, we're giving you little clips of them, but you could see, you know, the actual videos. If you go to Mario's blog on am760.net, this one is really moving. Let's go ahead and listen to this.
The last year has just been really busy. We went from first year I was out here, which is about 2 years ago. I've been doing this 2.5 years now. First year I came out, we did 2 foreclosures, and then this year alone is probably excess of 100. So,
what is that noise in the background?
That's the guy, the locksmith.
Oh, that's right.
Changing the locks
to keep people
so
out.
You can't get
to
back
keep
in.
Keep them out. Yeah. Like the guy and Julio is right there, like outside the door.
I know. I saw that.
Watching him do this.
Yeah, I saw. Do you have the Julio clip?
Yeah, we do have some words for him.
Let's go ahead. This is a homeowner who just lost his home.
Did you have a mortgage that had an adjustable rate that was going up? Did your mortgage
keep? It's going up 31st. So I start paying 1,400.
Okay.
And they were up 26.
26?
Yeah, and I can't do anything. I want to stay. I tried to fix with the bank, but they don't help me. I fix whole house. I spend a lot of money.
Have you looked around for rental places? Is it hard to find anywhere to rent?
Well, I've been looking yesterday. I found my room, but it's too much money. I can't pay that.
Too much money.
Mm. That is just, I have to tell you, that video, you really got to check it out. Puts a human face in all this.
Pretty harsh.
Yeah. At am760.net. So now that you've cheered us all up, Oscar the Grouch.
Good job.
Jesus.
I got to bring you the cold, hard news.
Yeah, you're doing it. What else do you got for us?
It's cold.
Hard and news. Oh, no.
Video of the day.
Such excitement.
It's growing on me. I think I'm liking it a little bit more.
All right. Well, what an intro. So I guess that means we're ready for the video of the day.
Yes. Right. And it's coming. It's another kind of a bonehead move. This happened yesterday. A Republican congresswoman from Florida, Ileana Ross Layton. Layton was, you know, she was contacted by President-elect Obama. So he calls her and says, hey, you know, I want to talk to you. And she's like, no, this is fake. And she hangs up on him. But she didn't do it just once. She did it twice that she hung up on him. So today she went on a local morning show and she was talking about the ordeal.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Here she is talking about the first attempt that here's the first call she got from Obama.
Directly from Obama.
And this is a Republican. They put some context that this is a Republican congresswoman from Florida.
I said to him, boy, you are a much better imitator of Barack Obama than the guy they have on Saturday Night Live.
Right. And so then,
it is Barack Obama. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. And he kept trying to convince me. And I said, look, I know our stations all over the place, they're always playing wicked games on politicians, and I think it's all in good fun. We deserve to be poked fun at, but I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. He says, Ileana, Congresswoman Bisseva, and I said, yeah, right. Okay, see ya.
And you hung up on him.
She hangs up. The guy's all, I am Barack Obama.
It's like, nope.
Nope, you aren't. Click.
Some people might remember.
You should have said change.
People might remember the report that we did on Sarah Palin when she was pranked by those two Canadian fellows.
That's right.
Saying that they were President Sarkozy or something.
Right.
So she thought that this was the same joke. And they called her back again.
They do that a lot. So after Obama failed, he got Rob Emanuel to try it.
He's all, you call her for me.
It's like high school all over again.
Right.
And then his chief of staff calls Rahm Emanuel, who's my congressional colleague, and he says, Ileana, you know me. And I said, how do I know that you're Rahm Emanuel? He says, I have Obama right here. I have Barack right next to me. He is listening. Please take his call. I said, it's a great, again, another great imitation. I'm just, I know how these clips work. You splice all these bits in, and it sounds like a person. Have a great day. Bye.
Well, so,
hung up again on him.
Oh, my God.
She couldn't believe it.
I think she likes it, actually. She likes
just like hanging up on
me. I did it again, and I did it, and I'll do it again, too.
Well, that's great. There's also more to that interview. Yes. People could check it out at am760.net, Mario's blog.
Can't change this.
You can't change that. Great job, Oscar the Grouch and Mondo. Great job. And you could check all that out, Mario's blog, am760.net. 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. My name is Mario. It's 5:31 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Let me take a quick break. 36 minutes after 5 o'clock. My name is Mario Solis Maric. You're listening to the one and only Mario Solis Maric Show right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Ike.
This is the home of the Denver Tamale Idol Contest. We are getting ready to choose the best tamale in the Denver metro area. And this is how it works. You could not. By the way, people during this show have not only voted, but they've nominated at least one new restaurant. So you go to am760.net, go to Mario's blog, and you could either nominate your favorite tamale joint or vote on the ones that are listed there. We're going to pick the top three vote-getters, and then we will decide who from those three through a taste test. By the way, a very scientific taste test.
Very scientific.
Who makes the best tamale in the Denver metro area? So you got to check it out. And by the way, I think we're going to leave nominations open for a couple days. But the sooner you get the nomination in, the better chance, of course, you have of actually being one of the your joint for being one of the finalists. So you got to check it out.
People can go like on a tamale tour.
You know what? I'm looking at all these places. And they can't. There's a great list right there.
Road trip for one day.
Right. Can you imagine?
It's a heavy road trip.
The average tamale has 1,500 calories, which is basically calorie content for a guy for one day. You know, it's like between 1,500 and 2,000.
But not for a Mongo.
You and Phelps. All right, check this out. We're continuing to follow these stories, although it doesn't seem like too many people are, about the prosecution of the investigation of some of the criminal activities that the Bush administration was potentially involved in. And we got two new additions to that. First of all, a brand new one. KBR Halliburton is now being sued again for a new class action lawsuit that alleges that the U.S. troops have been sickened by water, food, and fumes produced by KBR and Allen Burton, which used to be the same company. One was a subsidiary. Then they did some kind of split off, like a mutant cell. It was just like a mutant. It was like when an amoeba splits in the middle, or a virus. That's what KBR and Halliburton did. I said it was like that. Joshua Eller, who worked as a civilian computer aided drafting technician with the 332nd Air Expeditionary Wing, said that military personnel, contractors, and third country nationals may have been sickened by contamination at the largest U.S. installation in Iraq, home to more than 30,000 service members, Defense Department civilians, and contractor personnel. Let me tell you something. The details in this lawsuit are really sickening.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's really, really disgusting. Here's a point here. The lawsuit says, accuses, these are accusations and allegations, accuses KBR of shipping ice, okay, in mortuary trucks that still had traces of body fluids and remains in them while they transported ice that was then served to U.S. forces. And that's
gross.
That's just gross, right? You see a mortuary truck, I mean, there's your, you know, and you're thinking, okay.
I need some iced tea,
right? And you're thinking, and you're trying to tell yourself. You're sitting there going, I'm sure they cleaned it out. I'm sure I'm being a big baby by not wanting to, you know, get ice out of this mortuary truck.
Right.
Right. I don't want to be a big sissy and all everybody's going to say, right, all that. And you go and you grab a handful of ice and it smells like dead body.
Or like a handful of ice.
Right. Like a... right. I mean, think about... Right. So that's pretty disgusting. And, I mean, there seems to be a lot of things about the way they handled human remains. At one point, wild dogs in the area raided the burn pit and carried off human remains. And the wild dogs could be seen roaming the base with body parts in their mouths as they walked around our troops. Think about that. This is just, I mean, this is like disgusting. If any of this is proven to be true, I would hope that KBR and Halliburton pay a huge price for it. So that, and by the way, is there an article on this that we link to or anything? Because people,
yes, the article is linked up.
Yeah, because people, if you don't believe me, you should read this. It seems like something out of one of those, like out of Night of the Living Dead or something. Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's gross.
It is very gross.
They said that some of the food they served them had shrapnel in it.
Yeah.
How do you get shrapnel in food? Like a bomb explodes and they just serve it still?
Yeah, it's like here. Right, that's exactly.
Bad. It's really bad.
Yeah. That's really not cool.
Wow.
Yeah, Mondo's thinking, wow.
I would never do it. That's a disgrace because I love food so much.
I know. And you're a great chef.
That's
from what I understand.
That's terrible.
You know? Not that I ever get invited to anything you cook at, but my understanding is that...
I'll bring some food. I brought a pound cake yesterday.
Yeah, I heard about that, by the way. Did you make that pound cake?
I brought it in.
Yeah. I asked you if you made it. That's what I said. So then, there's this other piece that we've been talking about, the Attorneygate probe, where Betito Gonzalez, former, of course, head of the U.S. Justice Department, and Karl Rove have been, ignoring subpoenas. But we're actually at it. Okay, let me take a quick break. We'll talk about this as soon as we get back. And also, Chris Gunn will be with us from the American Small Business League. Man, they've stirred up a kettle of fish. Wait till you hear what's happening with the American Small...
A kettle of fish?
Yeah, that's a term, Mondo. Without shrapnel, but they stirred up a kettle of fish.
Not as tasty.
Wait till you hear about what's going on with the Obama administration and the American Small Business League. We'll talk, or the Obama transition team, I should say, and our good friends at the American Small Business League. All of that, your calls, y mucho más. It's 44 minutes after 5 o'clock. After 5 o'clock, my name is Mario Solis Maric. On the line with us right now, Director of Communications from the American Small Business League, Chris Gunn. Chris, welcome to the program.
Mario, thanks for having me on.
How are you today?
I'm doing okay.
Good,
I'm
good.
Okay.
Boy, you folks have really stirred it up. That's all I got to say. Now you have put out a number of press releases over the past few days, saying that you feel that the Obama transition team and President-elect Obama are basically turning away from small business and kind of turning towards large corporate business. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, I absolutely will. Well, it started with us noticing that they had dropped a couple of issues that we've talked about on your show from their transition website, issues that were featured within the small business section of their campaign website, which would be stopping the diversion of small business contracts to large corporations, their small business emergency rescue plan, providing the SBA with an infusion of cash so that they can restore the SBA's budget and staffing and things of that nature. All of those issues have been essentially pulled from the transition team's website. Or rather, you could say that they haven't been transferred over. So we're looking at a situation where you have a website that is essentially a piece or a means of communicating an agenda to the general public, and it is absent of the small business issues that we're all so passionate about. And we noticed this and started to take a deeper look at the transition website, and we noticed something else. We noticed that one of the key issues, one of the issues that Barack Obama campaigned on, did commercials on, talked about heavily and made some pretty strong statements about, was missing from the top of his economy section.
And what statement was that, Chris?
It would be the enactment of a windfall profits tax on the oil and gas industry as a means of providing families with emergency energy rebate, $1,000 emergency energy rebate, which was something that we were shocked about. We obviously wanted some answers, and so we made a ruckus about it.
Yeah, no, you really have made a ruckus. And let's separate the two issues just for a second. And I want to let you know that I actually talked to the Obama transition team on Monday. About the issue concerning big companies getting small business contracts, and they told me, and they said that they wanted to be very clear that that is still the policy, but they couldn't I wasn't satisfied with the explanation, quite frankly, of why it wasn't on the transition website, but they really, really wanted me, they basically said very clearly, and they wanted me to feel comfortable in saying very clearly that that is still their policy, even though it's not on the website. Now, I did not get a chance because this other issue, it came more to my attention over the last, since then.
It was wasn't really exposed. We had noticed it and were considering action, and it wasn't really exposed until Wednesday of this week. Since then, we've seen really a kind of a debate developing over really whether or not there should be a windfall tax, or whether there shouldn't be a windfall tax, and whether it's acceptable to pull that big of a campaign promise, I'm going to call it, from the website without really acknowledging the fact that they're really moving away from it in some kind of significant way, meaning that Barack Obama comes out and says, well, because of these particular factors, we're moving away from this. And I think one of the things that was really kind of impacting for us is that, we said, well, what's going on? This isn't on the website anymore. It's no longer being addressed. And people started asking, well, what's going on? So Mother Jones Magazine, a reporter did an actual blog, ended up contacting the transition team, and they weren't going to get really a straight answer, but ended up getting an answer from an aide who agreed to talk about it under the cloak of anonymity, meaning that, really, we haven't gotten a direct answer from the team in a transparent, open way. It was kind of someone sharing information through the back door and letting us know that, in fact, they're not going to be implementing this tax.
Now, my understanding of their position, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that they're not implementing the tax because gas is under 80 bucks, or excuse me, oil is under 80 bucks a barrel. And the plan was to have the windfall profit tax on 80 bucks, you know, starting at 80 bucks.
Right. Well, you know, I think that there are conflicting ideas, and I think there's a lot of confusion out there over exactly what it means to initiate a windfall profits tax. But some of the really good points that I've seen out there are, number one, you could still have excessive profits when oil dips below $80 a barrel. That certainly can happen. Number two, you can still enact a windfall profits tax or start the momentum towards doing that. Despite the fact that oil has dipped below that $80 a barrel, as a means of preventing future windfall profits, so saying, well, if oil exceeds this amount, right, or if you are meeting these criteria, then a windfall profits tax would be initiated. That was a point made by David Serrata. He posted it on the Huffington Post this week.
Right.
So I think that's a legitimate claim. So our question initially was, well, why exactly has a windfall profits tax been pulled, and is this an indication that, you know, essentially the oil and gas lobby is starting to influence the Obama campaign in a way that maybe we didn't expect?
Well, we're going to have somebody on from the transition team in the next day or two, and, you know, and level those questions publicly to them. Chris, I mean, you guys really started up, which is good. I mean, you folks are doing a good job. And you have to know, I hope you're wrong about this, right, as I'm sure you probably do as well. But once again, I do have to reiterate that they told me to official, you know, that their official position on the other issue, on all of the small business agenda item issues, is that those are still the policy of the transition team. And they actually sent me, you know, the list of things, and all of the things that you and I have talked about, you know, have been included. But Chris, it's always great to check in with you. Keep up the advocacy, and we'll follow up with you in the very, very, very near future.
That's perfect, Mario. And let me, I'd love if you have someone from the transition team on, you know, I would love it if you brought up just the, you know, if you breached the subject of transparency with them, because it seems that people more and more are using the websites, the transition team websites, the campaign websites, as a way of collecting information. And to the general public, if that information isn't absolutely available and on that agenda, it's not transparent, and it's not clear that it's still part of that agenda.
That is, Chris, we're out of time, but you're absolutely right about that. I agree with you. And I'll definitely bring it up, and we'll have you back on as well.
Perfect.
And I appreciate your call.
All right.
What's the website before they kick me?
www.asbl.com.
Okay, thanks. That's Chris Gunn, Director of Communications for the American Small Business League, right here on the one and only Mario Solis Marit Show, 303-713-7600. It's 555 on AM 760. 58 minutes after 5 o'clock right here on AM 760. Colorado's Progressive Talk. In the next hour, bringing you up to date and yet another legal problem for Karl Rove and Betito Gonzalez. They seem to be the dynamic duo. So we'll get into that in the next hour. But right now, let me bring you up to date. We've got more nominees in the AM 760 Denver Tamale Idol Contest. You could go online at am760.net, go to Mario's blog, and you could vote. By the way, this is just like American Idol.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like
it. It is just like it.
Because some of the tamales are cheesy.
Wait, no, because he could vote over and over and over again. That's what I meant by that.
Oh.
And the grand prize is a recording contest.
No, it's not. But let me tell you something. My sense is, because we have a lot of listeners and people are really into it, we have a huge spike right now on this. I bet you that the winner gets probably a flood of new customers.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'll definitely say that. All right. It is 59 minutes after 5 o'clock. My name is Mario Solis Marić. Me and the gentlemen, and even the guys, are going to be back right at the top of the hour. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.